This is Victory House.
Now let's open our Bibles to Luke. Luke chapter 15. Last week we had Father's Day, and I think we should always have Father's Day. All right. Every day should be Mother and Father's Day. Amen. I like that text so much. I thought, let's spend a little time in it. And so this morning, we are still picking up from that text. Luke chapter 15. And then I will read from verse 20 to 32. It's a long read. And if you title your messages, I'm going to be talking about what I call Me Too. Don't be worried. I'm not necessarily going that route of the Me Too movement on the internet or in our country now. I sympathize with people that have been violated, but that's not what I'm talking about this morning. But it is also Me Too. Luke 15, 20 to 32. The Bible says, so he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Verse 21. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Verse 22. But the father said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. 24. For this son of mine was dead and is alive, and he was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. 30. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. And to 31. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. Verse 32, the last verse. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. In the name of Jesus, everything that is dead around you that should be alive will wake up in the name of Jesus. Everything that is missing in your life that should be present, I command them to be found in the name of Jesus. If it is physical, you will find them. If it is mental, you will find them. If it is material, you will find them. If you say a bigger amen, God will do it faster. Amen. All right. So Me Too, we're talking about Me Too this morning. I need to first tell you some things about God that we should remind ourselves. These are things that we know. And when it comes to God, many, many times, there are things we know that we need to remind ourselves. Because sometimes the devil likes to play in our head. The devil likes to live in our head and in a way convince us otherwise of the intention and plan of God for our life. The first thing I want to remind you this morning is this. God is good. Look at your neighbor, tell them, say, God is good.
God is good.
Look at another neighbor, tell them, God is good. Because you see, situations in life want to tell us God is not good. Environments want to tell us that God is not good. The thing that happened to you before you came to this service, one of the things is trying to tell you, God is not good. If God was good, where is God now? Why did God allow that to happen? Why is God not here now? Why is God silent? When this problem happened to me, why didn't God show up? I've been coming to church. Why is all this happening to me? Is God really good? I have come to answer that question this morning. Unequivocally, God is good. Can you say that to yourself? Say, God
is good,
especially
to me.
Because sometimes people know God is good. They are not just sure that he's good to them. It is one thing to know that God is a good God. It is another thing to know that God is good to you, or he wants to be good to you. Look at this scripture. Psalm 119 verse 68. Scripture says, you are good and you do good. God is good and he does good. So it's not only that God has the attribute of being good, God does good. He wants to do you good. If you have not experienced good in 2018, I want to tell you that God wants to do you good. It does not matter where things are for you now. God wants to be good to you. He wants to show his goodness to you. In fact, somebody once said, he believes that the word God and good were supposed to be the same thing. That the English people could not just be saying God as the entity or the deity that we serve and worship and put him and say that also for good. So they added another O so that good and God will be different. But you see, when you see God, you see good. When you see God, anytime you see good. When Moses said he was going to see God, God said, you can't see me. But he said, I will make my goodness to pass before you. God was saying his personality is goodness. He was saying that when I show up, goodies have shown up. When I step in, the good has come. When I show up, I can reverse bad and I can make it good. I speak over somebody this morning that everything that is evil and bad in your life, the God who does good will show up on your behalf. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Psalm 73 and verse 1 says, surely God is good to Israel. I want you to see the God of goodness. I want you to see a good God. When you wake up tomorrow, be expectant and be confident and be assured that surely God is good to me. You wake up, you step out, you say, in this land of the living, God is good to me. Sometimes the best time to reaffirm that God is good is when things don't look good. Because you see, one of the things the devil tries to do, he makes things appear as if they are more than what they are. In fact, he wants you to believe what is going on and convince yourself that it is because of you that everything is going wrong. So much that he will be able to inflict more bad things on you. But I've come to tell you that God is good to you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. In Acts 10:38, the Bible talking about Jesus. Say, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good? Because God is good. So when Jesus even came in the flesh, when God manifested himself in the flesh, the characteristics of his ministry was good. He was dispensing good. And I'm sure in the second half of 2018, as many people that are in this room this morning, God will do you good. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So that's something I want you to remember this morning. Another thing I want you to remember this morning is that God is not just good. God wants you to enjoy his goodness. Some people know God is good. Oh, yes, God is good. I've seen people say something like this. You know, I'm not necessarily somebody that believes in people playing games, lottery, and stuff like that, or playing to win a prize. Not like a competition, but, you know, just maybe a company says, we are giving away TVs, and you need to send in your draws, you need to send in your applications. I'm not necessarily a fan of that. I don't have anything against it. But I have had people say things like this, that I never win things. Good things don't just come to me. I don't just stumble on money. I don't just go into my mailbox and then they send me a check that they've forgotten to send me. So people don't just do me good. That's a bad way to talk about your life. Because you see, God is not only good, God wants you to enjoy good. Because sometimes some people have thought that, well, sometimes when I'm not experiencing good, God is helping me, is molding me, is teaching me something, and all of that kind of thing. God can teach you without making you suffer. Can I get amen to that? Yeah. I have children. I don't have to say, okay, you know what? I want to teach you how to be responsible. I want to teach you life. Because, you know, when I was young, I went to a boarding school. And there were many, many days that I would be very, very hungry. That even the remembrance of food would be filling me. Have you been there before? Has anybody been there before? When just thinking about food can satisfy you a little bit. You can't, there's no food anywhere. So you just imagine that time that you were at home and they brought food and you couldn't finish the food. You will reminisce and you will. So I should not tell my kids that that's how I grew up. That I went to boarding school and I now I know life. Now I have learned something. New people too need to learn. So every Monday and Tuesday, it's not fast, it's just no food. Because I want to teach you something. No, I will be a bad human being. A bad father, bad everything. But I want to do them good. I want them to eat. Even when they think food is not good for them, you know, or certain food, you force them. You say, you must eat. Because we know it's good. And that's how God is for you. He's good and he wants you to enjoy good. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 6 and 17. The Bible says, let those who are rich in this world not place their thoughts, not place their heart, not place their mind in their riches, but they should place it in God. And the reason they should place it in God is that God wants to make us enjoy everything. God does not want you to endure your marriage. Can I get amen to that?
Amen.
God does not want you to, when people ask you, how are you doing? Just say, so. We are managing. We are just there. We're angry. No. God wants you to thrive. God wants you to be the best. God wants you to live the best. God wants you to wear the best. The fact that you are serving God should not make you look like, you know, somebody that is an example of not a good thing. You know, some people say, well, it's my cross. I am serving the Lord. No, your cross should not be a bad car. Jesus has taken the cross for you. God can bless you with a good car. God can bless you with a car that you will enjoy, not the one that you will endure, not the car that will be driving you. Amen? You know, some cars have the mind of their own. They can drive you. You can get to a stop and the car will decide, no. Are you kidding me? You can't stop here. You will stop at least two blocks or two feet after the stop. Because I'm the car. I drive you, not you drive me. But I pray in the name of Jesus. Everything God has provided that is still eluding you will be supplied in your favor in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So God wants, he wants us to enjoy his goodness. Another thing I want to remind you this morning is that what God has done, he can do it again.
Yes.
If you don't remember anything this morning, if you can remember that, it will help you. What God has done, he can do it again. Same God yesterday, sir, is the game to God today. God hasn't changed. He's still the same. If you read it in the scripture, he can do it for you. If somebody gave a testimony about it, he has not changed. He has not diminished in power. Even our civilization has not changed him. Because we are now in 2018, and so what? Who told you that miracles are not still possible? Who told you that cancers cannot still be healed? Who told you that fibroid cannot still melt? Who told you that you cannot get a job without knowing everybody? Who told you that? Who told you that God cannot sort your situation? Who told you that? Because somebody told you that it is not possible? Because somebody told you that the law says this? Who told you that God can't change the law? Who told you that God can't rewrite the script? And I'm speaking concerning somebody. What you have had God do, the miracles that you have had God do, and you're wondering, will it happen in your own very life? It will happen.
Amen.
I thought you would say a big guy, amen.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, that's the motto of the Redeemed Christian Church of God worldwide. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. The Jesus of the New Testament is still the Jesus of 2018. If you can take him like that, if you can receive him, he is still as efficient and he can still do those things you read in the scriptures even now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, and let me read the contemporary English version. It says, God saved us from the threat of death, and we are sure he will do it again and again. Can I hear somebody say again and again?
Again?
What God has done, he has saved you before. He will save us again and again. He's saving us now. He will still save us again. So what God has done before, he can do it again. If God has helped people before, he can help people again. So that means that if you are going through anything, can you just find if God has done that kind of thing before? Because if you can find an occurrence of God showing up in similar situation, you can be sure that he can still do it again. One of the things you need to learn to do whenever you are in any situation is to find common grounds. Find something you can hold. Find something that looks like your situation, especially from scriptures. I say, oh, God gave somebody a child. God can give me a child. There is nobody in the scripture that wanted a child that God didn't give a child. Nobody. Except Michael, the lady that was insulting David when David died. There is nobody, including Sarah at 90, whatever. God still gave her a child. So there is nothing, if you see that, for example, and you need a child, you can hold on to that and hold on to it tenaciously. That I know that my God lives. I know my Redeemer lives, irrespective of what medical science say. I am not against medical science, but I know that there is a God that is beyond medical science. I know that there is a God that is beyond legal information. I know that there is a God that is beyond governmental setup and governmental structure. So God can bypass, God can rewrite, God can reroute, and make my own case different in the name of Jesus. So remember that God is good. Remember that God wants you to enjoy his goodness. Remember that what God has done, he will do it again. Because you see, in the story that we just read, the last prodigal, because I believe that story is a story of prodigals, several prodigals. Many people thought it was only the guy that went to spend the money that was a prodigal. Everybody in that story was prodigal. The word prodigal means lavish. It means excess. It means wasteful. It means profuse. So everybody in that story, all the men in that story, they were excess in a sense. They were profuse. They were lavish. The father was lavish with his love. In fact, I call the father the compassionate prodigal. The compassionate prodigal. He had compassion. And I think there are many of us that can do with more compassion today. We can have compassion on people. Sometimes when I read the news, sometimes I wonder, our politicians, do they have compassion? Do they think of human beings as human beings? Do they think of humans being not as pawn and things that can get them votes, but human beings that blood flow through them? People who have a life, people who have a family, people who are going somewhere. So, and I think every human being should be living with compassion. You should be living with compassion. You should not see good and call it evil. You should not see evil and call it good. You should not see things and say, because she's not near me, then I leave it alone. Every evil anywhere is a threat to any good everywhere. So if you see evil and you just pretend and go away and do like the Samaritan and just leave and say, well, it doesn't really concern me. Because sometimes people come, people go to places, you see things are not working well, you just take your eyes away. Let the compassion of God flow through you. Let the compassion of God flow through you. When people have issues, even if you are not necessarily the person that should solve the problem, if you can let the compassion of God flow through you, you may be able to at least add a dent to the solution. You may be able to add something that will end up being part of the greater solution. So there was the compassionate prodigal. Now, there was the careless prodigal. That was the young boy. The guy that came to his father and said, give me the lot that is belonging to me. I want my own inheritance now. I want you to give me everything now. He was careless. And there are people that are careless with the things God has given to them. The fact that God is a good God does not mean God is not a just God. Can I get amen to that?
Amen.
There are some of us, we are very careless with opportunities. We are careless with the things that God has placed in our hands. God gave you one. And you think because God gave you, he's a good God, you use it anyhow. God gave you a car. God gave you a house. God gave you a job. You use it anyhow. You waste it. You are careless about it. The way some people go to work, they are careless. You go late. You don't know your boss is taking notes. You now get to work. You start reading Bible. Some people don't even read Bible. What they do is they send WhatsApp messages, scriptures. You know, sometimes when I see, there are church people, Christian people, I block them. Because I'm like, when did you get the time to be sending all these things? I know it's the word of God, but excuse me, do what they have told you to do. Because if you don't do what they have told you to do, and you are still doing a good thing, you are at that time, that good thing is a bad thing. Because some people, the enemy is against me. It's not the enemy. You are the enemy. You are against yourself. So we have the careless prodigal. That was that young boy. And then we had the complacent prodigal. The complacent prodigal. That was the boy, the older brother, who was complacent. Who was asking the question, or who informed our title for this morning, and saying, what about me too? What about me? What about me? Because sometimes when people give testimonies in church, when people hear of something happening for the other person, they are wondering, God, what about me? What about me? Oh, she has given birth. I thank God for her life. But when will my own time come? What about me? Sometimes the what about me people, the problem is that some of them are complacent. They have not charged towards the things that God has given them. Because sometimes some people think because God has given me something, it will just fall on me just easily like that. Is that how it works? There are many things God has promised. If you don't walk into it, if you don't take it. Remember the other time we used to sing this song, I am walking into my open doors, right? Because it is possible for a door to be opened and you don't walk into it. There are many doors of opportunity that have opened up to people. They didn't walk into it. They just let it slip. They just let it go. So it is possible for you to have what God wants, for you to be near what God wants for you and not enjoy the best of it. So in this story, we see three major people. The compassionate father, the careless son, and the complacent son. And it's that complacent son that was asking that question that we are talking about this morning. What about me? 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 Let me say some things and I bring this together. The greatest asset anybody may have may not be money, may be access. Access. When this boy was asking, what about me? He did not know that he had access that was more than any asset. Because he was asking, what about me? Because he thought, what about my own asset? This other careless prodigal guy, he has spent your resources. He has wasted your resources. What about my own asset? But the father was reminding him that, son, well, you may not be holding any asset in your hand, but you have something that is more than asset. It's access. It's access. It's access. Can I tell you this morning that one of the best things that can happen to you is for you to have access. Sometimes you may not have money, but if you have the right access, it may bring you money. Sometimes you may not have what you want, but somebody somewhere knows somebody that has what you want. So access is a major thing. And sometimes people trivialize access because sometimes the access may be to somebody who doesn't look like it. It may be to access, maybe to somebody who doesn't, you don't think that person can give you something. Do you know that Joseph got to the palace because of access? When Joseph had the dream, they sold him to slavery. When Joseph had another dream, well, because it seems he'd been having dreams for Potiphar's wife to be thinking, ah, this guy that is always seeing things, maybe he should see me too. You know? So they threw him from the pit. They threw him to slavery. And from that slavery, he got to Potiphar's house. From Potiphar's house, landed in prison. Now, he was still dreaming, right? But the dream didn't take him anywhere until he interpreted somebody's dream and the person got to the palace. And this person is a commoner. He's not a big person. Remember that Joseph had been rolling with the big boys, someone like Potiphar. Joseph had already known the big boys. So in his mind, people like Joseph should be thinking, I need another Potiphar in my life. But the butler was what we needed. Can I tell you this morning that God has sent some butlers into your life? You need to know how to deal with that access. Because access is better than asset. Access is better than access. It was access that Mary had in John chapter 2. It was access. Mary couldn't do a miracle. When the wine finished, Mary knew what to do. The Bible said Mary told them, you know what, I'll go and talk to Jesus. And what he told Jesus was this. Jesus, the wine has finished. Jesus responds, so, what does that have to do with me? Mary knew the next thing to do. Mary just went to the people. I'm going to tell you to go to him. Whatever, just wait. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And what he tells you to do will bring the miracle. And did the miracle come or not? He did. But how did they get water to turn into wine? They didn't know Jesus. They knew Mary, or Mary knew about the problem. Excuse me. And Mary, because of her access to Jesus, was able to bring about a miracle. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying there are people, there are opportunities that God will send your way. You know, if you were in the Sunday school this morning, they were talking about stewardship. Stewardship can be an access. God can give you a job to do in church, and it can be an access. I have seen access. I have gotten access by stuff that I've done in church. You know, you just do something in church, somebody sees it, and that links you up to something. A friend can be an access. You can know somebody, and that person knows somebody that links you to something. It was on Wednesday that I was talking about a story that the first job I had, you know, not in this country, I didn't get it by application. I didn't even know there was a job like that. I didn't even know that I could work at that time at my level because I just left the university. And in the country where I grew up, they used to have, you had to serve. You had to do youth service. You had to go to for 1 year compulsory, whatever, for the country. So I thought I needed to do this before I got a job. But by access, I know somebody. I mean, she was even not somebody I really know, like we're very good friends and talking to one another so much. It was just a random somebody that knew me in school. But that person mentioned my name for whatever reason. I've not even asked that till today. To somebody that needed to fill in position. The man had actually, later I found out that the man had come to our school and had looked for the best people. I didn't make the list. I'm a best guy in my own right, amen? So don't look at me. Every father is a good, they were first in their class, weren't they? And I'm a father now, so that makes me first. You know, but I didn't make the list. But for some access. So when this lady calls me and tells me there's a job, are you interested? I didn't even know the answer to give her. I just said, okay, let me see. Long story short, I got this job, not because of my qualification, because even the day I went for the job interview, the way I dressed, you know, because I didn't know there was going to be a job interview. I was already out of my house. I was somewhere in town. And they called me and said, can you come for an interview today? I'm like, the way I'm dressed, I borrowed a tie. I just borrowed things to make myself look good. So I was looking all over the place. But I got the job because of access. Access is better than assets. There was this young man in scripture, 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 20. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 20. His name is called Gehazi. Now, Gehazi did not know that assets can diminish. But if you have a good access, it is better than assets. Gehazi was supposed to be one of the greatest prophets that we ever had in scriptures. Because Elijah was a very great prophet. Elisha was greater than Elijah. He had the double portion of the spirit that was upon Elisha. What was supposed to get to a Gehazi was supposed to be four quadruple portion or four times the anointing that was upon Elijah, two times the anointing that was upon Elisha. He would have been a living dynamo. He would just, I mean, if you touch... Remember that when Elisha died, Elisha, the boss of Gehazi, when they buried somebody in the tomb of Elisha, mistakenly, the person rose up. So imagine that a dead Elisha can have that kind of anointing. Gehazi would have been something else. I mean, Gehazi would just be walking in a motorcade because if you move too close to him, you will burn or you will just be falling down or something like that. He was supposed to be super anointed. But he thought asset was bigger than access. He thought asset was bigger than access. He thought that today was more important than tomorrow. He did not know that some people can sell today and miss tomorrow. And so he sold this today for nothing. He sold this today for cheap. I'm talking to you this morning, if you can hear my voice. Some of you are doing things today as if there is no tomorrow. Some of you are living your life today as if tomorrow will not come. You are young today, you are wasting your time. You are young today, you are allowing people to waste your time, waste your body. And you are selling tomorrow at the altar of today. Tomorrow is coming, sir. And sometimes you will wish you had it different. You will wish you didn't do it that way. But you still have opportunity today. Because access, if you can keep that access intact, if you can maintain that access, tomorrow will be better. So I will say three things about access and I will run away. When you have access, cherish it. I will run away. Well, maybe literally, just run away to Nigeria. Amen. Because sometimes they say bigger amen there. Or do we are we going to match them? But I love this place. So I won't lie. So when you have access, cherish it. When you have access, you have access to a man of God. You have access to an uncle that has experience, that has seen things. Don't take it for granted. The people that misuse access the most are the people that are closest to it. Do you know that the people that don't receive most from a man of God are the people that know him the most? Very close family members. They'll just say, who is he? Is he not you? We know you. Pastor E. Pastor E, that will be laughing anyhow. Just laugh. Huh? Just, you know, we know you. But so they don't receive because they don't cherish it. They commonize it. They think it's just any one person. So if you have access, cherish it. Don't misuse it. If you have access to anything good, take it away. Even your parents, the wisdom they have. You know, sometimes children, we just feel that we are cooler than our parents. Did you guys feel like that? No. Me, I just used to feel like I'm cool. Tolu, you don't feel you're cool? Come on. I used to be like, my parents are not cool. I mean, they are even dressing. Look at me. I'm just sharp, man. Yeah. I just feel cool with myself. So we and sometimes when they say something, it's like, that's old school. That's old school. This is new school. It may be old school, but it may be good school. Amen? Yeah. It may be useful. So when you have access, cherish it. When you also have access, invest in it. Invest in it. If you have access to somebody, invest in it. If you have access to a resource, invest in it. Don't just take from it. See how you can be a blessing in a sort, in a sense, to that access. And finally, if you have access, don't be complacent. The problem of that older guy was that he was complacent. The older guy, the father told him something. He said, look, everything I have is yours. Because the guy was even saying, you've not given me goats. You want small goat to keep for my friend. The father said, look, small goat. You can have all the goats here. It's just you. You've not just positioned yourself to be taken. You could have even done some things. I would have told you, kill the goat for you by myself. But he was complacent. He was complacent. Complacent means to be, I don't care, nonchalant, just sitting down there, expecting the thing to come to you. And I pray for you this morning that the things God has for you, you'll come into them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Another thing I see in that story, in Luke chapter 15 and verse 28. The Bible said, and he was angry. The boy was angry. And he just reminded me that there are many angry people today. Angry about what God is doing for another person. Angry that I've been coming to that church. I can't even show anything. The pastor is just pent up anger. So you come, you're like, impress me, pastor. Well, this day I've been coming here. Complaining, grumbling, angry at God. There are people, some people have said they don't want to go to church again. Why? They're angry at God. God disappointed me. Why, God? Why did it happen to her? Why did it happen to him? Where are you? But this morning, instead of anger, look at what the Bible recommends that we should do. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. You there, sir? He says, do not be anxious about anything. Let me use the word anger. You know, in anxiety, so sometimes there's anger there. Do not be angry about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Another scripture says, make known your request to God. Instead of anger, sir, make known your request. Instead of being angry, turn your anxiety, turn your anger. Let them be fuel for you to pray to God. I'm not saying you should pray covetous prayer because there are some prayers that some people pray sometimes also. No. Just ask God. Don't say, because God, you see, that my friend, I want to shine more than her. I want my shoe to be better than her shoe. You must give me a better. No, that's not the kind of prayer I'm talking about. I'm just saying that instead of you being angry at God, instead of you being angry that you don't have what you should have, just tell it to God. Just tell it to God. You'll be surprised there are many things that people have never really categorically, expressively, specifically asked God. Because sometimes we assume he knows. We assume we've told him. Some people pray prayer like this. God, take care of everything. Yeah, what is everything, sir? What is everything? Oh, God, take all the glory. God, manifest yourself. Good words that you are choosing there, but to what? Be specific. The more specific you are, the more dynamic things will become. So be specific in your request. Make known your request to God. If only this guy that was saying me too had made his request known to the father, I'm telling you, the father would have given him that calf, the calved goat that he wanted. The father would have given him, because the father said, you have access. And if you have access, you can make requests. Everybody that has access can make requests. You see, what happened to man when we lost out in the Garden of Eden was we lost access, direct access to God. So we now had so much mediation that needed to be happening. We had to do the blood of bulls and all kinds of mediation were going on. But when Jesus came, Jesus brought back access. Because before Jesus, we had several courts in the temple. We had the outer court, we had the inner court, and then we had the holies of holies. The holies of holies was where God was supposed to be. And you couldn't go there. It was only a priest that could go there once a year. So what Jesus did was that Jesus broke out those wall of partition so that we could now go there and we could now have access. Now when you have access, Hebrews chapter 4 says, it says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come boldly and obtain mercy. So you can come because you have access and make known your request. That is what the boy should have been doing. He had access to the father. Instead of him to have made his request known, he's complaining. No, me too. He had access. He should take it. He should go for it. And finally this morning, as I close, receive. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, as many as have received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Receive. Whatever God has for you, receive it. Take it. To receive means to receive is to take. To receive is to apprehend. To receive is to hold. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, the Bible talks about how we should be receiving things that God has for us. We should receive them violently. Because sometimes the way people, when you hear receive, some people think, I will stay and it will come to me. Sometimes you will go to it. Sometimes you will charge for it. Sometimes you will go for it. Sometimes it will require you praying and fasting and praying a long time and fasting for a long time, like we will do in the month of July. We are going to fast. And some that means that you will not skip that fast. Can I get amen to that? Because some people will say, well, you know, Pastor, my God has answered our prayers. So it is well. God has given us all things to enjoy. But you see, the way you receive it is by taking some initiative. It's by moving towards it. The Bible says in this scripture that we have on the screen, it says from the days of John the Baptist up to now, the kingdom of God has been subjected to violence. The kingdom of God has been suffering violence. And only the violent, only the people that are passionate, only the people that touch towards it, only the people that go for it, only the people they are the people that receive it. So there are things that you have not received, not because it's not there, not because you don't have access. Some of the time, not because you have not even made the request known. It's because you have not taken it. Some of it, you have to go and take it. You have to go and take it, literally. Take it. Some people need to literally sometimes. Some people say resume. Sometimes, in some cases, you may need to go physically into the office and just knock and say, can I see the COO? And pretend like you know the COO, and then you see the COO and say, I think you need my services. Just sometimes you need to take it. Sometimes you need to go for it. You are an artist. You sing. You have songs. And you are just sitting down expecting people to come and meet you. Maybe you need to create a YouTube channel. Maybe you need to create an Instagram and take the matter to the people. Amen? Because people will not come and meet you. They are waiting for you to bring it to them. I don't know if there's anybody that wants to take it this morning. I don't know if there's anybody that understands the concept of access, if there's anybody that understands the concept of making it known, and if there's anybody that wants to receive all that God has for them. Will you bow down your heads this morning and speak to him?